Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The relationship between the Father and the Son is crucial to understanding Christianity. Jesus died as a sacrifice to avert the Father's wrath on us guilty sinners. That is an expression of love that can never be fully understood. Today, more on that love. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the mysteries of God. Now, join us for more of our look at the triunity of God.
Now, the point is this. In pagan religions, and I may mention this again, in pagan religions, what you have is, and Christianity is sometimes criticized, oh yeah, look at this religion. They offered sacrifices. You know, the sacrifices of blood are found in all religions, and Christianity is just the same. No, it's not. In all the other religions, what you have is people bringing sacrifices. In Christianity, God becomes the sacrifice. Wow. And God demands a payment for sin, and he supplies what he demands so that redemption is of God. You can't find that in any other religion. Now, if you believe in a one-person God, such as Islam, God might let bygones be bygones and forgive you, but he has no just basis upon which to do so except to let bygones be bygones, and more likely he's going to ask you to suffer for your own sin and make your own payment. So in redemption we have a redeeming God that you need a Trinity for. No other God can be a redeeming God without the Trinity. Now, how do we bring this down so that our lives are changed and we understand the profound implications? First of all, I've emphasized this, God has always been a father. He's always been a father. Since the beginning of time, he loved the Son. He's always been a father. The distinctive mark of Christianity is that God is the Father. Now, there is a book written by a woman whose name I'm probably going to mispronounce, but it's Bilquis Sheikha. It's the best I can do. She wrote a book entitled, I Dared Call Him Father. She was in a deeply Muslim family in Pakistan. Somebody gave her a Bible and she began to read the Bible, and suddenly the whole idea of love began to grip her. And she says in her book, and the book is entitled, as I mentioned, I Dared Call Him Father, that it is when she called God Father, she knew that she was no longer praying to Allah. Because in Islam, it would be a great mistake to call God Father. But the distinguishing mark of Christianity is God is Father. Jesus said, in this way, pray, our Father who art in heaven. And it's mentioned also in the Old Testament that God is Father because God's primary identity is love. I remember praying with a woman years ago who used to come to me. She struggled deeply with alcoholism, and she'd go a couple of weeks and then she'd fall again and feel so terrible over what she did. So she'd say, Pastor, pray with me. Here's an interesting thing. She was a believer in Jesus Christ, no doubt about it. But I always smiled within my heart with great joy because every time she began to pray, this was her opening line. Father, you know that I love you, and I want you to forgive me for what you've done. Now, who told her to pray that way? Did I tell her, hey, now when you pray, your opening line is, Father, I love you? Of course not. I didn't have to. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God is given to us And we learn a lot of things by that Spirit, but the Holy Spirit of God is given to us by which we call and we say, Abba, Father. Abba being a term of endearment for God. Some people say it's something like Daddy. Abba, Father. Where does that come from? It is birthed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And if you're here today and you just pray to God, and you don't pray to God as your Father, almost certainly, you are not a Christian, you are not redeemed. Now, how do people who believe that God is their Father, how do they handle the adversities of life? Shouldn't a father bail them out whenever he can? Well, the Father loves us more than our earthly fathers, but he does have a different agenda. But let me give you an example of what they do. Carolina Sandell Berg. She was a woman who lived in Sweden, and she was on a boat with her father, and the boat lurched. I think that this was probably the 1700s or 1800s, so they didn't have a way in which to rescue him. So there she is. She's watching her father drown. How does a Christian process this business of being a child of God and tragedy comes? Well, she wrote the words of a hymn, which Rebecca and I heard this past week because we attended a funeral. Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gather. Nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. Neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord his children sever. Unto them his grace he showeth, and their sorrows all he knoweth. Though he giveth or he taketh, God his children ne'er forsaketh. His the loving purpose solely, to preserve them pure and holy. Christians trust the Father to the very end, because they know that this isn't the only life, and he'll be our Father throughout eternity. So the first thing we learn is that God always has been a loving Father. And that's why when we were singing, you know, the love of God, I thought, you know, could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a tribe by trade. I didn't know that I could quote that. I was a little nervous getting into it. I might have to add some extra words to have it come out right. Second lesson that we can learn is that the only way to the Father is through the Son. The only way to the Father is through the Son. And this makes sense. He is the beloved Son in whom the Father is well pleased. He did the will of the Father. He came to redeem humanity. No prophet has ever done that. No teacher has ever done that. No guru is able to do that. There is only one person qualified to do that, to redeem us, and that's Jesus. And it's only Jesus that gets us to God the Father. Do I have an amen here today? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And by the way, since we have some Germans here today, I've never done this in the 36 years that I've been here at the Moody Church, but for them, I'm going to quote that verse in German. Ich bin der Weg und die Wahrheit und das Leben. Niemand kommt zum Vater, denn durch mich. Did I do okay back there? I know three verses in German, and I've just shared one of them. So if you're listening to this today and you are investigating Christianity, understand more about Jesus, understand his beauty, understand who he is and what he did. You say, well, you know, that's a very narrow view that you only get to God through Jesus. Of course it's narrow, but it's open to everyone. Doesn't matter what religion you belong to, doesn't matter what spectrum you are on in terms of your past life, it is open to everyone. So while it is narrow for a good reason, but it is open to all who humble themselves and receive him. And by the way, what does the text say? John 1:12. For as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Amazing promise. Third, it's very important to realize that those who believe in the Son are invited to participate in the relationship of the Trinity. They are invited to participate and enjoy the relationship of the Trinity. And now at last we do come to John 17. Now this is the prayer of Jesus to the Father, and he is praying to the Father, and it opens the door to an understanding of the Trinity, the likes of which is just incredible. No wonder John 17 is one of the favorite chapters of many Christians. You have many favorite chapters, but this certainly is one of them. Notice what Jesus says in chapter 17, verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be made one in us, that the world may know and believe that you've sent me. Jesus is saying the relationship that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and they never have an argument, is the relationship that should exist among us as believers. Well, if you know anything about living with believers, you know that we're a long way from that, but that's the ideal. That's why racism is such a sin, is because of the unity into which Jesus Christ brings us, is a unity of fellowship, is a unity of oneness, and such distinctions are sinful. Well, you know, to live above with the saints I love, oh, that'll be glory. But to live below with the saints I know, that's another story, right? But that's the ideal. So he prays that we may be one, and then this blows you away, but this is in God's word, verse 22. The glory that you've given me, I've given to them.
My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. We can read the words, but it's difficult for us to understand, isn't it? I really do think that if you and I could see into the future and know what heaven is going to be like, and the oneness that we have been emphasizing in this message, and the fact that we are going to at last participate in a new way in the Trinity, not that we're going to become God, of course, but because we're going to have such a sense of unity, such hearts filled with worship, that looking back on earth, we will wonder why all of the little things of earth, all the distractions and all of the problems meant so much to us, because eternity will get us in a position where we can have perspective. You know, this series of messages grew out of my heart. Of course, it's based on the Bible, but it grew out of my heart because I wanted us to try to understand God as well as he is able to be understood. We're sinners, we're limited, but thank you so much for joining us, and I hope that you phone some friends, invite them to join us on this journey, that we might know God better and love him more.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Next time, why Jesus makes clear that without him, there is no way to have eternal life. The Mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.